Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Love and Relationships Podcast, a hotline style show where people call in with questions about love, sex, dating, singleness, and marriage, and mental and emotional health. I'm Deborah Falada, and I'm so glad you're tuning into these candid, unscripted conversations where I answer your questions in short, bite-sized, practical answers. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a licensed professional counselor, relationship expert, and author of 6 books. I also run the popular relationship advice blog, truelovedates.com, reaching millions of people with the message that healthy people make healthy relationships. If you have a question that you want me to answer on the show, send it by voice memo to Deborah@truelovedates.com or submit it on my podcast page, truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships, and I'll do my best to get it answered on one of the episodes. So let's get started. So we're doing something a little different over the next few weeks called the Ask a Counselor series. As you know, I recently started the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, a team of Christian counselors who are offering one-on-one online sessions to meet with you and help you work through any personal or relationship issue you might be facing. It's an amazing team of counselors that I get the privilege of leading, and I wanted you to get to know them the way that I've been getting to know them. I've asked the counselors on my team to come and join me on the podcast over the next few weeks to help me answer your questions for this Ask the Counselor series, and I can't wait for you to get to know them. To book a session with one of our counselors, go to DeborahFalada.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing today. Today's question comes from Audrey from Pennsylvania. Hi, Deborah and counselors. I really struggle with clutter. I hate it, but things tend to pile up in my home, and then it begins to affect me mentally and emotionally. I grew up with a mother who could probably be considered a hoarder, so I really try to fight the urge to bring more things into my home than I need. My question is two parts. Number one, how can I do a better job of decluttering so that I can take care of my mental health? And number two, how do you suggest approaching a family member who might struggle with hoarding? My mom could really use some help, but I'm not sure where to begin. Today on the podcast, I'm so excited to be having Julie join me. Julie is one of the counselors from the Deborah Falada Counselors Network. Julie, it's so good to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Deborah.
So Julie, tell us a little bit about what are some of your favorite types of clients to work with at the Deborah Falada Counselors Network?
Absolutely. I love working with women's issues, single adult issues. I think that there's so many people that need that coaching or that extra support, and I'm so honored to be a part of their journey.
That's wonderful. And if you don't mind me saying, part of Julie's personal story is that you got married a little older in life. And so you're really passionate about that demographic and helping singles understand that they can prepare and use that time wisely, no matter what stage of singleness they might be in. Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I really do understand the single journey and the stigmas and things that sometimes can go around when you're single and a little bit older or have never been married, and some of the stigmas, and completely understand that, and I'm happy to offer guidance for people that might be struggling with that.
Well, I'm so excited to have you on the team. But I'm more so excited today to dig into this question. So what's interesting about Julie, a lot of what you do one of your areas of specialties is specifically talking about hoarding and some of the problems that come with hoarding and some of the solutions surrounding that subject. And that's probably not a subject that too many people are familiar with outside of the show Hoarders. I was just telling you, Julie, my husband and I have been binge watching Hoarders, and it's fascinating. But what's interesting about it is I think all of us can relate to it to some degree. And that's why I really like this question today from Audrey, because there's two parts to this question, and let's kind of tackle them in two parts. Number one, how can I do a better job of decluttering so that I can take care of my mental health? Let's pause for a minute and talk about the role of clutter in our mental and emotional health. What do you tend to see?
Well, absolutely. Clutter or excessive clutter can certainly cause internal stresses and stressors in relationships. Clutter itself can be somewhat overwhelming when we're trying to organize a space or make decisions about what we'd like to keep or, you know, whatever we'd like to do with those possessions. Oftentimes that causes stress for an individual. And so just trying to understand like where some of that is coming from. And also somewhat like, what are the triggers? Like, why is this so difficult for me to part with? With hoarding disorder, and we also use the word clutter because sometimes people that have hoarding disorder aren't comfortable with the word. And part of that is because of the show that you mentioned. I think the hoarding show is a great program. It brings attention to the disorder. But it also causes some people to be very uncomfortable because with the hoarding show, they show really extreme cases.
Yeah.
And so people that may have hoarding disorder are like, well, I'm not like that person on TV.
Right.
And so I just kind of have excessive clutter. So we're always really mindful about the words that we use when someone has a concern about clutter.
So are there levels of hoarding? And if so, what are those levels? Like, what do you tend to see?
That's a great question. So there's actually a hoarder image rating scale, which shows photographs of approximately 8 photographs of the same space. The first photo is a neat and clean space. And when we get to number 8, that's kind of like a floor to ceiling sort of clutter situation. So we look at that and we usually have the person that has the clutter concern look at that and see kind of where we are on that scale. A lot of times, you know, when people say, what's the difference between hoarding and cluttering? So the main thing we look at is, can the room be used for the way that it was intended to be used? So in other words, if you have a spare bedroom and you cannot use that as a spare bedroom because you have clutter on the bed or clutter on the floor, that's a good indicator to us that, or to me, that there is something going on with clutter than more than just like disorganization.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I've heard it said, and I don't know how true this is. It resonates with me to some degree. I've heard it said that the state of our external world often reflects the state of our internal world.
Absolutely.
What do you think that means? And how can we begin kind of unpacking that and having a little insight as to the state of our external world versus the state of our internal world?
Well, absolutely. You know, most of us know that if we have a space that is neat and clean, it's a good feeling. Like when we walk into that space, we may have an emotional response of feeling good about being in that space. We know that if a space has a lot of clutter, a lot of times that does not make us feel very good about being in that space or being around that space. And so I think there certainly is truth to kind of what's going on in the inside might be reflecting on what's going on the outside. So if someone has a lot of clutter, you know, sometimes we can tie that to maybe some difficulties in relationships or difficulties other in other places in their life.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I agree with that. I think in cases where we're talking about a home that's filled with clutter and disarray, there's more likely than not an emotional issue going on underneath the surface, some sort of mental health struggle, some sort of grief, some sort of unresolved trauma, some sort of stress that's there. That's just like, it's so overwhelming that it starts to spill into our external world, how we live our life. I guess my only hesitation is that it's not 100% correlation. I mean, if you have a messy car or a messy bathroom like me, does it always reflect the state of your internal world? You know, I guess that would be my question to you. If I have an area in my life that is messy, does that mean I have an emotional issue I need to deal with? Is that like 100%?
I mean, I definitely would say that's not 100%. I think most of us will say we have spaces that are not perfectly organized and perfect. And there can be a lot of reasons for that. Like you said, the busyness of life, maybe some emotional things going on. But what we look at is it kind of long-term?
Like, yes.
If I recognize that this space is disorganized, what's impeding me from getting that cleaned up or organizing that space?
Yes. Yeah. So we're really looking for patterns.
Yes. Absolutely.
What kind of patterns are present in my life? Is it just narrowed down to one little space, or is this every single area of my life and how I live my life? And then the next question is, how much is this starting to impede my life? How much is this starting to impact my daily acts of living? Like, I'm unable to do certain things, or I can't do certain things, or I can't have people here or there because my external world is in disarray. And once it starts to impede my life, once I start to see patterns in different areas of my life, I think that's where we need to stop and pause and look at the signals. So Audrey's really struggling with not being able to declutter. It sounds like she's aware of it. Like, I don't want to be like my mom is basically what I'm hearing. I'm very aware of it. I try to fight the urge to bring more into my home than I need. How can I do a better job of this? So let's just talk practicals first for those of us out there who recognize our tendency towards clutter, want to do a better job getting rid of things and making our external world match how we're feeling on the inside. We want to do a better job to bring peace to our external world. What are some tips and tricks to decluttering? Let's start with that.
Absolutely. Well, one technique we use is called Ohio, which is only handle it once. So if we're decluttering, if we're looking at an object, we also kind of subcategorize that as, you know, is this something sentimental? So like a child's drawing, right? Of course, we're not going to probably get rid of that. We're going to want to keep that. Do I have more than one of the items? So if I have three spatulas, I probably don't need three spatulas. So it's okay for me to get rid of two of those. And then the third is what we call kind of, can we actually throw this away? You know, is it something that's expired? Or, you know, like we have a donate section, and then, or I need to give this to my son or daughter. I purchased this little outfit for my grandchild. I can go ahead and give that to my son or daughter or grandchild. And then this other area is where we say, okay, we're going to go ahead and donate that, or if it's appropriate for the trash, go ahead and throw it away.
So we either keep it, we prune it down, we get rid of it, or we donate it. And you're saying don't touch it more than one time?
Right. That's usually our philosophy.
Like, see it, hold it, figure out what you want to do with it.
Yep.
Do that thing, and then don't think about it again.
Correct. So we might have like bins or something that are labeled keep, donate, not sure. And that can help us, because as we were talking earlier, organizing and decluttering can be kind of overwhelming. So that's a way to sort of break it down into steps to maybe help us make those decisions with that thought of only handle it once.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I would probably even hesitate to have a not sure bin for me.
Sure.
You know, because it's like, well, if I only want to handle it once and I put it in that not sure bin, there's a good chance I'm going to handle it again. So just correct. Like make that decision right now while I'm in the moment, figure out what I want to do, and then no regrets.
Absolutely.
And I think you're right. We put so much emotional attachment to things. I think that's where the problem begins, is we're so tied emotionally to objects. And I can resonate with that. My daughter and I can resonate with that because we're both really sentimental. So like my daughter will say, oh, I wore this when we dot, 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 dot. And she's got all of these memories tied to these events or experiences. That's just how she remembers things. She kind of absorbs what everybody was wearing, what we were doing, where we were at, what we got, and connects them to these amazing memories. But I could see how something like that could become problematic in someone who is maybe dealing with grief or loss or some sort of void in their life, where these things aren't just things. They're memories. They're placeholders of something bigger. And so you're not just letting go of a pillow for your couch. You're letting go of a memory, something that you experienced. Maybe someone you sat on that couch with, or the person who made that pillow cover for you, or this or that. And it's just related to so many different things. How do we handle that portion of letting go?
Well, and that can be the tougher part of it, is making decisions. If you've watched the show Hoarders, a lot of times they're working with a therapist, and the person is, you can see the emotional turmoil within them. Like, you know, when I look at this cup, I remember, you know, my conversation with Deborah, it was so meaningful. I so enjoyed it. And I feel like if I get rid of this cup, that might mean I might forget about our conversation or that special time that I had. And so I think that's when we start getting into a place of maybe therapy is relevant. Maybe talking to somebody about, you know, why am I holding so much value in this cup? I can have wonderful memories of our conversation today. I don't need this cup to necessarily remind me of that.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And I agree with you. That's a good gauge of whether or not I could use some help in this area. How difficult is it for me to let things go? And how much weight, memories, emotional connection do I attach to material objects? Because objects are just objects. We don't want to make them too important in our life. We want to hold them loosely. So what does it look like for me to learn how to do that? And what's impeding me from doing that? Are there some issues holding me back? We really have to assess that.
Absolutely. And you mentioned about the question from the individual about, like, my mother kind of has this disorder. And, you know, people always ask me, why are you interested in this?
Yeah.
And it's the same situation where I had a family member who, you know, was a hoarder. So I certainly understand the impacts, not just on the person, but on the family and the relationships. And it can certainly be very challenging when you have a loved one that has this disorder and is, you know, and you know, they estimate 4-6% of the population has hoarding disorder, but they also believe that it's very underreported.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of a hidden disorder. Like, you can drive past someone's house and not have any idea that it's a problem. Right.
Totally.
Or people may not invite people in. And so, you know, you may not even be aware from the outside that there's a problem. And like you said, connecting that to our mental health. You know, do we have, is our facade sort of that everything is really great, but you walk into our house or home and it's not great.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what's kind of happening there emotionally?
Yeah, it is interesting that it's such a hidden disorder. On one hand, it's so obvious to the people living in it. On the other hand, it's so hidden to everybody on the outside. I remember growing up with a friend whose mom was a hoarder. And I think it's important that we earlier differentiated between, you know, watching hoarders. That is not the only description of a hoarder. Like, you can have a hoarding issue and your house and floor not be filled from top to bottom. Like, there's other levels. Like you said, there's many levels of hoarding. And even having stuff all over every single surface of your home is an issue, right? It's starting to creep into that unhealthy territory. And I just remember being in her home, and I remember the feeling that I would get, but I also specifically remember the tension in the home, the back and forth between the parents and the children, the trying to sneak stuff out while she wasn't home to clear out their lives, because it was affecting everybody's emotional and mental health. Like, you can only live in that type of environment for so long before it really starts to impact how you feel. So your internal world is often reflected in your external world. But the flip side, as we talked about, is your external world also then begins to impact your internal world. So it goes both ways. So when somebody else has a hoarding issue, it starts to impact the emotional health of everybody in the home. And I remember so vividly the tension in that home. You could cut through it with a knife. It was just always tense, arguing about things. There was always like backhanded comments, passive aggression. Like, there was always this tension in the home, and it truly impedes connection and intimacy. It's almost like when there's too much stuff materially, you can't reach each other emotionally. It's like the stuff gets in the way symbolically of this deeper connection that you were meant to have, and it begins to impact everything. So for somebody like that, for somebody like Audrey, where do you even begin when there's somebody in your life, whether you're living with them, probably that's the most difficult, or whether you're not no longer living with them. Maybe it was your mom and now you've moved out, and, you know, maybe you've moved out and all of a sudden your parents are starting to turn into hoarders, or somebody you know and love. Where do you begin? How do you begin to have a conversation? What can you do to start to bring that up and offer them some help, guidance, and support?
Absolutely. And that's an excellent question, because usually with hoarding, you know, we don't start acquiring things Monday and Tuesday we have a hoarding problem. It is usually a drawn out process. And from the mind of the person that has a hoarder or clutter concern, you know, that's hard to hear, because a lot of times they also recognize that this is a problem. They may not know how to fix the problem, or maybe they've tried to do some cleaning out or organizing and have gotten overwhelmed. And then their loved one they're feeling that pressure. So to me, I think it's showing love and concern to that person that has the clutter, not being defensive with them or harsh with them, because that's not usually helping at all. It doesn't help at all.
Right.
And maybe saying, you know, maybe we need to talk to someone, or, you know, I'm not sure what to do either. My loved one has this disorder. I don't even know where to start myself. And not even therapy. There are people like professional organizers that work with hoarding disorder.
Yeah.
And they understand, they're not therapists, but they understand the complexities of it. And a lot of times they can help you begin that process of going through things, because a lot of times it's the support.
Right.
You know, when we go through treatment with hoarding disorder, we are looking for someone that can be kind of a coach to that person, that can be kind of a support. It might be a family member, it might be a friend, but someone to help them along in that journey. And again, I understand from personal experience, it is really frustrating. Like, why can't you get rid of this? We don't need this. But looking at it from the mind of the hoarder, they just don't see it that way. And like you said, there's strong emotional ties there. So it's causing just additional stress, which usually means you're probably not going to get very far.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good. So remember, whether you're the one struggling with too many things or whether you know somebody who's struggling, get help for yourself. You know, find support, find somebody to help you help your family member, because I think you need the support as much as they do, because it affects your life. It affects your emotional and mental well-being, and it will help you figure out how to set those boundaries in the most effective way, what to do and what not to do. Because I agree with you. Sometimes we approach it in an unhealthy way, and then we ruin our relationships, and the problem still isn't fixed.
Right.
So we didn't get very far. So how can you stay attached to that family member while helping them? And that's oftentimes what you need a counselor for, to help you unpack that and help you learn how to establish healthy relationships and to bridge that gap and make those connections even while things are impeding, even while things are in the way, inhibiting that relationship. What can you do? And sometimes you don't know better because that's all you've lived in, that type of tension. Like I talked about earlier, my childhood friend, when that type of tension and relationships are all you know, you don't know how to have healthy relationships outside of that. So it's important to have the support so you can figure out how to best navigate this relationship. So Julie, thank you so much. This is such a fascinating topic. I mean, I'm so drawn to this because of what we said earlier. I do believe that patterns truly begin to show you what's going on inside. And the state of our external world is often, not always, often a reflection of our internal world. And that's why I'm so passionate and interested in this subject, because I think it reveals so much about what's going on the inside of our lives.
It absolutely does, yes.
So thank you for joining us today. Friends, if you want to book a session with Julie for any reason, whether you have a family member that you're like, I want to learn how to help them a little bit better, I want some support in my own life, whether you're single and you want to talk through some of those issues because you heard that Julie's very passionate about that, women's issues, marriage issues, Julie is available for sessions, and you can book a session with her by going to DeborahFaleta.com/Julie, J-U-L-I-E, DeborahFaleta.com/Julie. You'll see her bio, you'll see her beautiful picture, you'll see her schedule, and you'll be able to book a session with her at the time that works best for you. All our sessions are online via Zoom, and we look forward to partnering with you on the journey of healing. Julie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Deborah.
People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Faleta Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. With an integrative approach, we'll guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today. Book a session with one of our counselors at DeborahFaleta.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing from the inside out. So much for tuning into the podcast and giving me your time today. If you love what we're doing here, leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us get the podcast out to others. If you want to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, go check out some of my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay, Married Sex, or my newest book, Reset. You can find more information about those as well as hundreds of articles and courses over at my blog, truelovedates.com or deborahfaleta.com.
I love connecting with you online. So find me on Facebook or Instagram at Deborah Falada and tell me your story. If you have a question for me, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships and we'll try to get it answered on the show. I'm Deborah Falada, and it was so great being together today, and I can't wait to be with you again next week. See you later.